Good morning. Please be seated. It is a very different experience to be with you here at the pulpit instead of on the organ bench, which is my usual seat here at church. As some of you may know, I started my diaconal discernment process in Kentucky a number of years ago. And I have a vivid recollection of a day during that first year when the deacon who was in charge of our training said, "Now, after you are ordained as deacons and are preaching," and I distinctly remember thinking, "Wait, what? Preaching?" I didn't think that was part of diaconal duties. I remember thinking that surely I would not be called upon to preach as part of my role as a deacon, but here I am. We have had several remarkable stories from the Gospel of John during this Lenten season. We've had Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus healing the man born blind, and now Jesus bringing Lazarus back from the dead. The last two of these stories are categorized as sign stories. Sign stories in the Gospel of John include turning the water into wine, healing the cripple in the pool, healing the man born blind, and the feeding of the 5,000. A sign story is a miraculous act of Jesus surrounded or followed by a theological discussion of its meaning. Sign stories usually show Jesus acting in his own time and not according to the external pressures around him. The primary function of a sign story is revelation, revealing some truth about God's glory and God's presence in the world through Jesus' ministry. This particular story is a little more complicated because it is about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And at some level, we know Mary and Martha, if not Lazarus, more personally than the cripple in the pool or the man born blind or the multitudes who ate loaves and fishes. From Luke's account of Mary and Martha, we have already seen Jesus in their domestic setting. I've always had a great deal of empathy for Martha, the sister who is distracted by many things. We tend to be a little judgmental towards her as she is portrayed in Luke's gospel, busily working in the kitchen while Jesus was teaching in their home, complaining to Jesus that her sister Mary wasn't helping. However, keep in mind that Martha is also a very active presence in that story and in today's gospel. She is the family member who goes out to meet Jesus in today's story and who calls her sister to go to Jesus. Martha is also the first to correctly acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. And then there's Mary. We tend to see her portrayed as the mystic, the dreamer, the one sitting quietly and passively at Jesus' feet. However, bear in mind that in Luke's account, Mary had adopted the form of a disciple at the feet of his rabbi, a role that would have been scandalous for a woman in her day. She is also the one who, in just a few more verses in John's gospel, will enter a room full of men, let down her hair, and anoint Jesus' feet, wiping it away with her hair. I think we are a little too quick to discount how radical Mary's actions are. And then there's Lazarus. Now, truth be told, we don't know much about Lazarus. But we do know that Jesus loved him and Mary and Martha. And at the beginning of this reading, their little family is in crisis. All of us here have experienced family crises before, and we know that they have some characteristics in common. For one thing, there is always an element of imminent danger. At the beginning of this story, we know that Lazarus is ill and in danger of dying. We may forget that Jesus is also in danger in this story. If he returns to Bethany, which is very near Jerusalem, he is likely to be in danger from the authorities. His disciples know this, and they warn him. And we can certainly presume that Mary and Martha also know this. But despite this very real threat to their very dear friend, they are desperate, and they know they must reach out to him for help. In crisis situations, there's usually the possibility of miscommunication. Look at the conversations that Jesus has with his disciples in this story. They seem unable to grasp the idea that Lazarus' sleep is something other than a temporary nap. Jesus finally has to be blunt and say, Lazarus has indeed died, and that he is going to Bethany to wake him. Crisis situations can be emotional roller coasters. Mary and Martha both react to Jesus' return with what might be construed as a rebuke. If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Followed by a statement of faith. Jesus likewise enters the scene in confidence, but is overwhelmed by his own emotions when he sees the grief that surrounds Lazarus' death. The words used to describe his grief can also be translated to mean strong emotions such as anger. Is Jesus, the Lord of life, perhaps overcome by anger at the grief and misery that death has caused? So a crisis can produce danger, miscommunication, high emotions, but a crisis can also be a turning point, and that is what we see here. This is not just about one family's crisis, but about the redemption of the world. The puzzling question about this story seems to be, why did Jesus wait? Why did he hesitate when he received news of Lazarus' illness? The answer goes back to the idea of signs, which Jesus did in his own time, and which reveal a truth of God's presence in the world. We remember Jesus' first miracle and the first sign at the wedding in Cana. Think about his response to his mother's request when she said that the party had run out of wine. It seems almost brusque. My hour has not yet come. Jesus likewise responds to the news of Lazarus' illness by saying that it will be for the glory of God, and the Son of God will be glorified by it. To his disciples, he says, it will be so that you may believe. And he promises Martha that she will see the glory of God. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The raising of Lazarus is definitely a turning point for Mary and Martha, returning their beloved brother to his place in the family. A journey from despair to hope, from sorrow to joy. The raising of Lazarus is also a turning point in Jesus' story. Next week we will celebrate Palm Sunday and begin Holy Week. But the raising of Lazarus is really where the Passion narrative begins. For the high priest and Pharisees, this act was the final straw. And in just the verses right after the reading you heard today, they begin to plan how they might put Jesus to death. As Jesus says to roll away the stone at Lazarus' tomb, he is facing his own impending death and the stone on his own tomb. And this story is a turning point for us in the church. As Jesus calls Lazarus forth, he is calling all of us to life, promising that if we believe, though we die, yet shall we live. Jesus tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. This story is not about just the resolution of one family's crisis, but instead the redemption of the world. As Fred Craddock has phrased it, faith is always first generation, with an immediacy about it that does not distinguish between our being there and his being here. Easter is coming. Amen.